Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see. Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, "What if?" Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
It's not always easy to see what is coming at you, or better yet, for you. You need someone in your corner who can help you navigate those blind spots. Life Coach Today has a unique ability to guide you toward clarity with compassionate coaching and an amazing sense of humor. As a coach for over 15 years, Life Coach Today has been working closely with people and freeing them to live their best life. If you are in a spot where your best friend's advice or family member's tips are not working for you, you want to step onto the playing field of life with a coach who will walk with you and support you in tapping into the best in you. When you are done with Life Coach Today, you will be the change you want to see. We'll give you practical tools to finally embrace all of you and empower you to step into your greater yet to be. For a 45 minutes complimentary session, email Life Coach Today at ask@lifecoachtoday.com. That's ask@lifecoachtoday.com or call 678-561-0607. That's 678-561-0607. Be still, listen, and be transformed.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Welcome back to the Play Experience, Playground of Life. I am Oba Sophira, and I am one with the universal mind, with all truth, all beauty, all justice, and all love. We continue our conversation in this Earth Day segment of time about how best we can experience our special time here on Earth, this playground of life. How beautiful Earth. At the top, you heard George Skorilis with Pure Imagination. You can find his beautiful music on evzonemusic.com, E-V as in Victor, zonemusic.com. And he was followed by the Purple One, Purple Crown, who definitely reminded us that this is a segment of time. Earth Day is truly every day. And you can find his music on purplecrown.bandcamp.com. Well, I am looking around. There's so many people here, I can't even hear. I can't hear myself think. I don't know what is going on, but maybe some technical difficulty in my brain. Because I can't hear, I tell you. I am wondering. I am just absolutely wondering where my friend is. Where could he be? I'm gonna holler. Hey, Maestro! Hey, Russell, are you there?
Can you hear me? I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Oh, I couldn't see you through all of these people. Wow. Woo, give me a hug. I got to get a hug right here.
There it is. Right there. Right there.
All right. Yes, today we're talking about rarefying and sanctifying life here on Earth. I'll tell you what, this is going to be a big one. You ready?
I am ready. No, I stay ready.
Yes. Yes, yes. Well, let me like give you the mic just for a minute, just so these people in the playground right here can know just who you is. All right, here you go.
Well, you know, I have to extend all gratitude and thanks to you for the privilege of coming before your very, very exquisite audience. I love to share this information, and you are the perfect interviewer to bring it out. And for those of you who haven't met with us at any of our previous conversations, my name is Russell Washington, and I'm a holistic systems specialist. I've been doing a combination of holistic wellness for peak performance and correction of medical conditions or health conditions within people for a long time, and I also do a lot of work in earth care. And really my specialty is where the two meet. And we're going to talk today about that aspect of the work.
Yes, and so happy I am to have you return again on this playground. I mean, we were having so much fun, and then your mama called you home. And I was like, oh, man, you got to leave already? That's okay. That's all right. You're back. You're back. Yeah. All right, so we're going to jump right in, and you do something very unique that, you know, none of us have ever heard before, I'm sure. I can speak for everybody here on the playground. Awareness Expansion Technique, AET. And I want you to just give us a little bit, and I have. I'm just so inquisitive about this. We didn't get to really cover it the last time you were on the playground. Can you give us a little bit about it?
Yeah. Well, AET is a system for personal and transpersonal ascension. And what I mean by that is in life we generally have aspirations to do one of two things, induce a correction or create an enhancement in our life circumstances. Right? And AET is a strategic combination of the best practices from some modalities, but it also raises the bar on how we work and allows people to really choose their own aspirations, pick their own target goal, and proceed to that in a self-directed way. And one of the things that does is it reminds people that they are imbued with all the resources they need, or they can, or imbued with every resource they need to gain access to any other resource they need to achieve whatever it is they want to achieve in life, either individually or collectively. And it came out of, you know, doing the wellness work and the training, the peak performance training, and also in working with nature for many, many years, and observing that, hey, we need a very efficient, elegant system that people can use themselves to achieve some of the things they wanted to achieve. And Mombasa, as you know, when it came to working with wellness challenges, I didn't really, I only worked with severe cases, people who were intensely addicted to whatever, people with terminal diagnoses of one form or another, people with really, really intractable problems. And it was a very good training environment for me. And when it came to peak performance, I was working with people who had to increase their creativity for one reason or another, because it was their livelihood, or because if they didn't, they were just going to bust. You know? So in those days, I was very fortunate to have some experiences where we actually worked together on, you know, with some, you know, we worked with me when we confronted the challenge of a triple addict who was on you know, cocaine and a whole bunch of other stuff. And so the style of work has evolved a little bit since then. It was 4/5 complete in the early 2000s. In 2002, it became 5/5 complete. So I've been using one form or another of it since, you know, late 1999. But it took on the form it has now. AET, Awareness Expansion Training, took on the form it has now in 2003. And I've been working with individuals one-on-one for the most part, and in very small group trainings, very intense small group trainings since then. And it's almost time for our coming out party.
All right. And I'm sure everybody's waiting with bated breath. So you said it's how many steps is in it?
Well, it's a five-phase or five-facet system.
Okay.
And they're not necessarily steps. What AET does is it models a certain level of human awareness that we call presence, the I am experience, beingness, that is. And so a 90 degree shift to greater depth and width. About 100 years ago, a brilliant cat came along and said, let's take this idea of psychology, which is just right now it's mostly dealt with by philosophers and people like that, and let's see if we can model how the mind works from the studies of the mind. Psychology literally means study of the mind, yes?
Mm-hmm.
So Freud came along and says, what if we can create a therapeutic and a proactive model that people can use, or that at that point you're saying that physicians can use to help people with their problems? And from that point forward, psychology was born. Now, that model is about 100 years old and is still being worked to great benefit. All sorts of variations have arisen. There's another level of self-understanding, self-awareness that has been philosophized about, and that is what's referred to as beingness, or the being level. And one of the things that's becoming popularly known that's out there being philosophized about by people like Eckhart Tolle and others who talk about it, but for thousands and thousands of years in the martial arts and in the yogic disciplines and the contemplative religions, and in certain aspects of Western religion and philosophy, there has been a conversation about beingness. And so what we have done is created a model upon which to build a platform for action. So AET is one of the first two systems, or there's only one other system I know of, that is an applied system for ontological knowledge. Okay, so we work from presence, from beingness, from the I am state, just like anybody who's doing mind-based transformational work works from the mind level. Of course, presence is more primal, has greater primacy. It's more fundamental to who we are than mind is. It's, if we were building a house, presence would be like the footing upon which the
presence
foundation
would be is. Like the what? The footing?
The thing, for all you people who are in the construction, footing, you put your foundation on the footings, right? So when we see a house, we see the finished job for the most part, but we don't think about the skeleton of the house and what that skeleton sits on and what that sits on. So that's where we are now. We're talking about the stuff that the foundation is resting on. Okay.
So let's stay right with all I am state for a moment. When you talk about I am state, is it action oriented? What is it? I mean, what is the I am state in terms of
the
like
I am state,
every day? If I was to watch somebody that's in the I am state, what would that look
let's
like?
Let's just go by the twin pillars of presence are sentience and sapience. Now, all you scientists and out there, the twin pillars of presence, the I am-ness, are sentient and sapient according to our model. Okay? Now, here's what that means. Anybody that's seen a science fiction movie or a Star Trek episode has heard somebody say, Captain, it's a sentient being. So, sentience is by definition self-awareness, the awareness of your own existence. That's from the dictionary. Any good dictionary would define sentience that way. We expanded just a little bit to include self-awareness, the awareness of who you experience yourself to be, and awareness of existence except itself. That's
what's the second one again?
And the awareness of existence itself. So it's not just you experiencing your own existence. But it is the phenomenon of the experience of existence itself. Okay. And the great meditative masters and the martial arts masters and the people like that report to us is that when they quiet themselves down entirely and move into that zone of awareness beyond thought and feeling, what remains is that self-awareness.
Is that self-awareness?
So it's more primal than what you ate this morning, what you felt, and what you... Okay. Now, the other twin, the other side of this, the other thing holding presence up is what we call sapience. Now, everybody's familiar with the use of that root word because we've heard ourselves as human beings referred to as Homo sapiens. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Sapien is the derivative of the word sapient. Okay, and the beautiful thing about the word sapient, because it's part of our name, is that it means wise understanding.
Mm.
Now that's straight out of, we're just taking, just using the common language now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
A sapient being, the sapient experience is the experience of wise understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just as an aside, the scientific name for human beings is Homo sapiens. It could be translated into English from the Latin as one with wise understanding.
Mm-hmm.
That name for us was coined in the 1850s. And I can't remember the cat's name that they coined that name for us. It stuck, obviously. But in the 1850s, the brother was definitely ahead of his time because the convention, which still hasn't completely been overthrown, does not characterize us as entities of wise understanding, and we're going to get to that, but someone saw to the heart of who we are as human beings and gave us a proper name.
Okay.
So sentience and sapience are the engine within presence, within the beingness, and what we assert, different from just about anybody else, is that those can be cultivated. Sentience can be awareness of who we are can expand and grow and change, and wise understanding can expand and grow and change. And the way of doing it isn't the same as hammering a nail. It's one of the no-mind practices. It's we do a lot of that by process of elimination of fear and resentment and all these kinds of emotions that get tamed and going into stillness. There's a process that one goes about in learning to work from presence, which is sort of different from organizing the mind. But what we assert is that when a person begins to operate from presence, many of the functions of mind do what they're naturally designed to do and self-organize. Spontaneous self-organization is a fundamental function in life.
Okay.
And from there, the mind-body, from the mind-body action and doing.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break in a minute, but I want to ask you, well, this might not be short, but if it's not a short answer, we'll go take the break and come back. But meditation, is that, how does that fit into this when you talk about being still or that state? Is it part of it to meditate into that I am state? Is it a process? Is that part of your process?
It can be. When I say self-directed, for the pure ADC operators, you know, they get to pick the listeners. But, you know, Sherry, when you're picking low-hanging fruit of how to get things to work, meditation, you can't beat it as a daily practice because it teaches one to still the mind and to keep it still in between meditative sessions. Yoga, meditation,
we're going to take it when we come back because I have a lot of rushing questions about that are coming in like a tsunami. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with Russell Washington talking about meditation versus AET. Be right back.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Did you know when the body is balanced, it heals itself? This is the guiding principle of Dr. Mark Armstrong. Dr. Mark is the founder of Ahimke Center for Wholeness. Ahimke is a wellness center that offers services and training programs that help you grow yourself. Ahimke is a word which symbolizes our commitment to honor the sacredness of all life and our respect for the vital force that flows through all living creatures. We seek to teach and heal, and thereby express our love for mankind, the earth, and the infinite universe. Ahimke Center for Wholeness services include acupressure, foot detoxification, Reiki, iridology, massage, Ahimke Mind Management, which is a process that uses the natural rhythms of the body to balance the mind. It enables total well-being and getting the thinking out of the way so the brainstem can do its work, and much more. For more information, visit ahimke.net. That's ahimki.net. Ahimke Center for Wholeness, honoring the ancient practice of energy medicine.
If you think depression is all in a person's head, you're right. It's a brain illness. And like other illnesses, it has symptoms. A person suffering from depression might feel sad, empty, or numb. They might sleep more or less, eat a lot, or not at all, or show little interest in participating in ordinary activities. Mood swings, including anger and sadness, are common. They're often tired and have a hard time concentrating or making decisions. Depression can make those who suffer from it feel hopeless. It can even lead to suicide. If you see the symptoms of depression, get that person to a doctor. With medical help, depression can be treated and suicide can be prevented. Learn how to stop depression from taking another life. Call SAVE, Suicide Awareness Voices of Education, 1-888-511-SAVE, on the web at save.org.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
And we're back. Well, we're talking about rarefying and sanctifying life here on Earth as it is. And before the break, I was asking you about meditation and mm-hmm. how, if it fit into the awareness extension technique that you offer?
Yes. Well, it does. What we look for, what I look for, is the creation of a synchronous, obedient mind. Okay? Now, conventional meditation accomplishes that. Okay? The meditative state that you, when you hear Buddhists talk about meditation, they'll lead with what our daily practice is designed to do is help you achieve the meditative state. And people who are into traditional yoga will hear their instructors say, well, what we're attempting to create in you is a sustainable or durable yogic state. Okay. And when that state is measured, what we find is that brainwave activity is synchronous, and it has a rhythmic harmony, and the hemispheres of the brain are no longer working in a tag team type way, but work harmoniously with one another and share tasks almost equally. Okay, so the whole left brain.
Okay.
So what meditation and yoga and some other disciplines are attempt to accomplish is the achievement of this kind of abiding state where the operator can, the person can actually shift into whatever state of mind is required for what they're experiencing.
Okay.
But many, many disciplines, but any discipline action can help you achieve that. To give you an example, I learned to meditate as a competitive swimmer, even though I didn't know I was learning to meditate. You know, when I walked in, my big old coach said, well, give me my whole warm-up. The first time she said that to me, I was like, what? That used to be my whole workout.
What did she say? She said, give you what?
A mile warm-up in the pool. I thought she was crazy. But, you know, because that was like 60 laps.
Yeah.
And I was a kid. I said, excuse me, maybe isn't that what are you talking about? But what happened was, after about...
Okay, so that was your introduction into meditation.
That was my introduction. After I decided I wasn't going to die, after about 20 laps, you know, that pull, breathe, put me in a state. I had a similar experience putting shingles on a roof. Once I got my rhythm together, pull the shingle out. Hammer, pull the shingle out. You know, I'm pretending to do that little karate kid, like, you know, breathe water or whatever. You know, like I said, I'm going to try and do this with one strike. So it eventually got to be a beautiful little rhythm. And next thing you know, I slipped into a meditative state. So any focus activity, focused repetitive activity, whether it's, you know, sitting there, breathing, or dancing, you know, playing the drum, can allow a person to achieve a meditative state.
And that's not an I am state?
Well, of course, here's the thing. When we are talking about models and these sort of, we talk about them in their, with a sense of separateness and duality, and this is that and that is this. But in real life, they work together as a seamless whole. Okay.
I understand.
Just like for your audience, just like we're beginning to learn that, you know, they can't find where the mind ends and the body begins. That can't be found.
Mm-hmm.
And in the broader conversation, is we're learning that there's a profound interconnectedness between us as human beings and every other human being, and a profound connection between all human beings and our life support system called the Earth. And the connect. So, you know, when we're in flow and living, the distinctions become less important about I am me, you are you. But when we're teasing stuff out and trying to get understanding, the lines that help us figure out one thing, then the next one, that can help. Okay. Well, let me let me make this more clear for your audience. The I am level of being holds up mind. Okay. Now, when we're talking about and learning these different distinctions, we think about them as one thing or another. But in real life, they flow together in a continuous form. So the way mind has been trained over the years is through meditation and things like that in order to get it, or to make it a conduit for presence. So that's the usefulness of meditation, is, and also doing yoga when it's done in the more of the traditional way, is the mind becomes obedient to what used to be just described as that over there. But we're bringing more distinctions to what was previously thought of as that about which nothing could be said. We've moved the goalposts back a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does make sense. And, you know, when you talk about awareness expansion technique, and the basis of it is it sounds like it's more self-directed, maybe? Or do you have to take them through every step and guide them and be with them the whole time that they're getting?
No, it's definitely designed to be self-directed. I do very intense training, and then and usually a person will come with a particular objective in mind. Like, mm-hmm. Doctor's dying, or I want to, you know, do better in my career, and everything in between.
Mm-hmm.
And it really needs to be something big for them, something bigger than just, you know, I'd like to lose 2 dress sizes because, you know, the prom is coming or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you need something that has a connection to their deep sense of purpose and that sort of thing. And I'll bring them through the process, but then it then becomes a gift for their life that they can apply and use on a daily basis, actually work in. You know, it becomes a way of life for them.
Mm-hmm.
Just
mm-hmm.
like in any true mind discipline like yoga or whatever, there's no upper limit to what you can do with it. But you learn the basics rather rigorously. One is taught the basics rather rigorously so that you can use it all the time in your interactions from day to day.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And how long does the process take?
Well, because it's self-directed, it varies. But when I teach people, I usually set it up as between 30-day and 90-day course, depending on who I'm dealing with. But at the minimum, and most of the time, within 30 days, I've got the person trained to the basics. And what I'm creating now is a series of home study courses. And I don't know if you told your audience, but we're going to do a 2-part session, and those who come back next week, I'll have a treat for them because I'll be giving them an opportunity to participate in one of those. But, it's the foundation of the work is based on a sophisticated new theorem of biological supersystems and all like that. So there's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
There's how to work. So if we had a brand new TV in front of us and somebody walked in and said, how does that work? Then we put an engineer in, and he'd talk about semiconductors and all that kind of stuff. But then if they asked, how do you work it? Well, this is the remote. Here's up, down volume, up, down channel, and 3 or 4 other programming channels, and that's it. Programming buttons, and that's it. So how you work it is very simple, okay, and very easy to learn. And 80% of it is allowing yourself to unlearn certain things that might be thought of as getting in the way. Okay? So the 5 facets are clearing, cleansing, charging, communion, and the creativity facet. And within the conversation that goes along with what those mean, because they have general meanings, all of those are very common words. They have a general meaning, which can be applied and loosely to what we're talking about. But just like if you and I were engineers,
if we went out to a bar to hang out, right, we would talk about stress, right? And when we're in the bar, it has a particular kind of colloquial meaning, whatever. But when we're working a job and we're building a bridge, the word stress has a very peculiar meaning to us as engineers. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
So just as with the work of AET, those five words have a very peculiar meaning in the discipline of achieving the status of an operator with presence.
Okay. Now, that's what I wanted to ask you about, that word presence. When you say presence, what do you mean?
Okay. So I use presence interchangeably with the I am experience or beingness. And what we assert in the work is presence is in direct, continuous intercourse with the source of all existence. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Presence is that aspect of our being. Beingness is that aspect of our being. The I am state is that aspect of our being which is in direct and continuous intercourse with the source of all existence. And when I say existence, I mean what exists and what is in non-existence. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like a physicist word.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
Presence communicates through all levels of existence, through harmony, resonance, and dissonance.
Okay. Yeah.
And
you know, you pulled in it because that's exactly what I was coming to. I'm like, okay, so people always say, you know, get out of your head, you know. And how does bringing your mind into anything affect what you want to do based on that whole premise of get out of your mind, get out of your head?
Well, there is, you know, there's so many different mind-oriented disciplines that we just have to talk about it in broad strokes, right? But we know that, you know, first of all, there's this whole new sort of shift to sort of equate mind with only those things that occur as brain function, neurophysiology.
Okay.
That's a little bit of a retrograde conversation, okay? The traditional concept of mind involves everything around that precedes the imagination of form and the sustenance of form. Okay, so mind function and brain function are integral, but integrally related, but they're not precisely the same. Okay, we know that mind to mind communication or mind communication is basically an image, is profound imagery. Our most profound images, okay? So,
and
what gives rise to those are the pure energy vibrations of existence, which translate for us through presence. So, the harmonies of life, the music of life, gets translated into images, which in turn get interpolated by the mind-brain system as information. Okay? So, and I mean that in both the sense of data and the creation of form, the sustenance of form. Okay?
Okay.
And information is what does doing.
Okay.
Whether I'm talking about you as a body or whatever.
Okay. All right. We have about 2 or 3 minutes left. I wanted if you would share with the audience.
In the whole thing?
And I know a lot of people. I'm sorry. What did you say?
Never mind. We have 2 or 3 minutes left.
All right. You kidding? You said, I got to go already? Right. Like, your mama ain't calling me. Okay. But anyway, how does this help? How does AET help people with degenerative diseases? Any problems like that? Real serious stuff.
Yeah. My experience with AET, I've worked with people with very serious conditions, sometimes multiple conditions. And what I have witnessed, pretty much originally to my own great surprise, was that I witnessed
spontaneous and slow development remissions and total transformations using just the discipline of AET without giving any serious attention to herbs or food or any of that. So I've seen people go from a medical diagnosis of terminal to a medical diagnosis of no cancer can be found, right? In a matter of months, without ever changing their diet or advising them on herbs. There was one trainee who had been in an a motorcycle accident, right? 8 years prior to doing the training, wound up getting an X-ray. The doctor asked, "How many months ago did your ribs break?" She said, 8 years. He said, "That's impossible." He said, "That's impossible because he knew bone formation. What happened was the bones that had healed in a misaligned way began to de-differentiate, realign, and reheal."
Yes, indeed.
Right there.
And that's what we're talking about.
Chest. So it's because the conversation in AET is about tuning the system like one would conduct the tuning of a symphony orchestra. Everything that's involved, food, herbs, pharmaceuticals, all these sorts of things wind up being looked upon like vibrational packets. Packets of harmonies or disharmonies, okay? Little bitty songs, little packets of data, okay? Which can be emulated or tuned in or tuned out. So we're not even talking about molecular or submolecular. So we're talking about a nested fields of forces ringing with each other, in harmony with each other. So the individual who becomes an AET operator is encouraged to look upon himself as a field of forces and or as a symphony being played. You know, just like the doctor can say, look, that guy in the oboe section is playing on the wrong sheet music or it needs to be tuned up. That's changed by adjusting the harmonic balance of the system.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So the leverage point there is quite different from in other kinds of
work. Wow. Well, I don't even say I hate to have to tell you this because you're coming back next week, so we can continue to talk about all of this good stuff. And you have been such a wonderful joy to this audience. This audience loves you. They absolutely love you. And so, Russell, I guess I have to see you next week, but I want to give you another hug, another big hug for coming and showing up again. Yes, indeed. I love you, love you, love you.
Thank you so much. More than mutual. Peace.
All right. Love you. All right. Well, I tell y'all, you don't want to miss you. You better always listen out and see when Russell's going to be here because Russell has the goods. I'm telling you, I've been hanging out with Russell for so long and having so much fun playing with him right here. So we will be back next week, and we will be bringing Russell in. And we'll be talking about this human family, the life on Earth. We'll bring in everything. We're going to bring out the big guns next week, everything that people don't want to talk about. Not going to tell you what, but we will be back next week. And I appreciate you, I bless you, and I thank the Creator for your existence. Mombasa out. Have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful week.
Praying to you now. Can you hear us calling? Send us a sign somehow. Polar ice is melting, ocean water's heating fast.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.